Part 5, Chapter 4, The Endurer. When the candidate enters the phase indicated as the light birth of God, the entire soul, with its five fluids, is brought under the control of the gnosis. Then all the magnetic processes of the personality function in the gnosis and all the chakras are attuned to the new process. As a consequence, the aspect of the soul, known as the serpent fire, becomes accessible to the new life state. By this light birth, out of the Holy Spirit, transfiguration must begin. As we indicated earlier, light is the second phase of the sevenfold spirit, the second condition of the electromagnetic fundamental radiation. The candidate becomes the object of a subjective inner Gnostic effort through the light. He must then react to transfiguration, for he has no choice. There is no longer question of making a decision, for when the light birth of God has become a fact, a process of the new genesis of man develops. In the beginning of his pupilship, the candidate reacted purely objectively, then half objectively, half subjectively, after the entry of the Gnostic force via the sternum system, influenced by the first ray. But now the soul being has become a part of the gnosis, so further soul development is altogether a question of the subjective interference of God. The pupil has truly entered. He stands in the light. The light is his subjective treasure. He was already in the new life field, just as all pupils are upon entering the school. But now he subjectively forms part of it, is united with the magnetic body of the school. He will now live out of this light, for life stems from the light. Thanks to the light, the great process of transfiguration begins. All development is to be explained out of light, also every change, all new genesis, and consequently, transfiguration. The magnetic radiation comes into development in the third stage of transfiguration. In fact, there are eight stages of magnetic radiation. The first stage is the fundamental radiation. The first ray of the Holy Spirit, which gives ability and power, is the second magnetic stage. The second Holy Spirit radiation, bringing the light birth of God, is the third. The candidate now enters such a miraculous new state of life that it is impossible to wonder about it. As you know, a refraction into seven aspects develops as soon as the Gnostic power touches an object. When the light has been born in us, we become conscious of the particular activity of the sevenfold spirit. We must now create the necessary spiritual climate for you to assimilate everything to which we wish to refer. Just imagine for a moment you have already received the most glorious Christmas present that can ever be given to man. You exist in the light birth of God, as your sensory apparatus and your soul state have been fundamentally changed. You see through the eyes of the soul the miraculous entrance into the new life field. You find yourself in a serene light field, which is extraordinarily consoling, extremely beautiful, yet not dazzling. An ineffable peace has descended upon you. It is the peace of having passed away in Jesus the Lord, as the classical Rosicrucians describe this situation. The old soul, the nucleus of your personal existence, has indeed passed away. As soon as the breakthrough of the light can be celebrated, the old soul has disappeared and a new soul has been born in the old state of being. Now the rebirth through the Holy Spirit begins. That necessarily entails a further destruction of the still existing old being of nature. The new soul has been born, but in the old dialectical being. That is why the remainder of the old being must be liquidated. Accordingly, an entire new being must grow, a totally new personality, in which the reborn soul can live harmoniously and in which it will truly be enabled to express itself. For if the new soul would remain in the old being, it would, as you can imagine, experience all kinds of limiting factors. it could not develop itself fully in the old being. That is why a new personality is also developed for the new soul. So you who imagine that you have already entered the light birth and experience your new soul state are naturally wholeheartedly prepared to give up your old existence, as you experience that its existence hinders you in many respects. That is why you no longer have the slightest desire to hold on to your old bodily structure with all kinds of expedients, food, and medicines. That would be simply ridiculous. On the contrary, you are wholeheartedly prepared and also in a position to cooperate with the dissolution of your old bodily structure. You do this very consciously, very intelligently, and with great joy. This is what the Cathars called the Endurer and was indicated by the Gnostics as self-renunciation. The expression self-renunciation has given rise to much misunderstanding among those who could not penetrate its meaning. That is why it has been suggested, partly in bad faith, that the Gnostics were involved in suicide. What nonsense! The Gnostic writings, which have been discovered in this age and are referred to as the Gospel of Truth, use absolutely the same language as all other Gnostic writings. For instance, it is stated that the Lord said to James, "Disregard death. Remember my cross and you will live. I say to you, nobody will be saved who has no belief in my cross." Seek death then, just as the dead, the residents of the reflection sphere, are seeking life and are clinging to life, to dialectics. Do not allow yourself to be distracted from the kingdom of God. Belong to those who agree to self-renunciation. When one reads this and does not understand its meaning, it is enough to make a dialectical person shudder. We quote the above extract in order to keep you well informed. For writings, such as the Gospel of Truth, which are said to have been found only recently, have been known for a long time, having been deposited for ages in certain well-known places. They are said to have been found recently and published by obliging theologians under inspiration of the dialectical hierarchy in order to use them to persecute the modern Gnostics in an entirely new manner to stimulate public opinion against us and establish, if possible, legal prohibitions or at least impeding factors. For just as well as we, there are also adversaries who know that modern Gnosticism is called to become a world movement. In the coming 48 years, this was said in 1954, the Lectorium Rosicrucianum will develop into a world-embracing modern Gnostic movement. Because this is known, people try to organize opposition in anticipation of all the ensuing. That is why we discuss this with you. That is why we meet this activity in an extremely sensible way, by giving timely explanations concerning the correct intentions of the Gnosis. The man who stands in the light birth of God and has decided upon the Endurer is not the one who forcibly puts an end to his life, not the one who, in a criminal sense, would kill himself, but a man who, in an intelligent and scientific manner, cooperates with the process of becoming a new man, which starts with the birth of the light. Such a man will maintain his old being for as long as possible for the sake of serving mankind, even though this old being has died through transfiguration. Can you imagine a candidate calling out in a superficial way, "I'll now cast off that old suit. It has served me, has troubled me enough. I'll cast it off now that I possess the new garment." When he has entered the new soul state and has the new being at his disposal, when the old being is still functioning, then just remember the first condition of the path of liberation is self-sacrifice in the service of mankind. All progress on the path of the Gnosis depends on the service of mankind through negation of the self. That is why the transfiguristic candidate will maintain the old being as long as possible, to the last gasp, in order to continue to serve endangered mankind. We cannot be more clear than that. So when in due course the storm of evil rumor arrives in the world, these Gnostics want to kill themselves and propaganda is spread to this end, which is fatal to the human race. Let us fight Gnosticism. Then you will know what to answer. Let us try to refute this insinuation in advance. The fact that the adversary is still busy organizing the means of attack enables us to make a stand against it beforehand and to take the wind out of the classical enemy's sails. If we do this well together, such an attack will be nipped in the bud.
Paul, who was a great Gnostic, approaches the mystery of renovation and the problem mentioned in Romans 14, where he says, "None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." Paul speaks in a very veiled way of the renovation process, the light birth of God, and all its consequences, and he accepts the process in order to be able to serve the Gnosis and mankind living within the dialectical being as well as in the glory of the new being. Do you now understand what the Endurer means? Do you see what a merciful situation it creates for the candidate? Just imagine this situation for yourself as a person. You are in the light birth of God. Your soul state is reborn. In the new soul state, you experience that you are wearing an old, worn-out coat, unsuited to the new life, whereas at the same time, you discover that you are able to cast off that old, useless garment in exchange for an entirely new one, so glorious and secure that you are practically speechless. What will you do then? You would be foolish not to enter into such an exchange. Well, that's all. That's transfiguration. Transfiguration does not relate to the restoration of the old coat by mending the worn-out areas. It is not a new youth of the old being. It is an exchange. We leave the old being behind and we enter the new being. This is also the case with the process of soul rebirth, with which the power of the Holy Spirit will free the new soul state. What is the soul? The soul is the vivification of a being by means of a magnetic radiation, a magnetic power that is concentrated and maintained according to a special formula. In the process of the genesis of the soul, a new magnetic power, the power of the Gnosis, enters your being, ignites the fourth candlestick in the head sanctuary, puts into motion the process we discussed in Chapter 5 of Part 4, and finally breaks through into the magnetic brain system. There it dams the inflow of the old dialectical power, and from that moment on starts the inflow of a new magnetic power, a new soul state. It concentrates itself according to a new formula, with your approval, applies a process of change, and, at a given moment, as in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, says Paul, the old soul disappears and the new soul is born. You have then conquered death. Who has conquered? Not you. The old eye has gone and the new eye, the new soul, has appeared. The exchange itself takes place in a flash, in a split second. It is the lightning exchange of a magnetic formula. And you are in the light just as he is in the light. In order to arrive at that state, you must accept the self mortification, the obliteration of the natural eye, and so the misery of that obliteration. It is the pain of seeking and approaching the spiritual school, that of learning how to handle the liberating power that touches you, learning to understand from the darkness of your own being all the new things. Continuing to try to react harmoniously in inner readiness, and so to approach the new things, yes, you must heartily accept this pain, this course of purification, in the process of self-mortification. All this is logically included in the process leading to success. The pupil stands in his mortification. All this misery in life is assimilated by his pupilship in a process of daily mortification of the soul. When in the school his attention is drawn to a wrong inclination or to certain faults and he grieves over it, this is not done to be hard on him, but exclusively to help him realize the birth of the new soul. The impairing of your I-being is nothing but a contribution to its mortification. But in the exchange of the soul itself, there is no pain. That is simply joy. If the new soul has been born, it appears in the old suit, which in fact is someone else's suit. For if the new soul has been born in the being of Mr. X, who has been born of earthly parents, it exists in the being of somebody else, and in reality has nothing to do with Mr. X. He is the old state of being. The new soul has also nothing whatsoever to do with the karma of the old soul. The new soul, standing in the radiating pureness of the new state of consciousness, will certainly not try to repair and maintain the old, degenerated, arid, hampering clothes. It is filled with joy and gratitude for the new way that is disclosed. The new soul itself is the delightful course with God, the way of restored evolution. It is itself the wonderful flower of the new genesis of man, which from the very first moment of its revelation begins to unfold in the radiating light of the spiritual sun. This new soul has nothing whatsoever to do with the old one, which has passed away, for the snake of the Kundalini has been killed. Do you now understand why the new soul is only too willing to get rid of that old suit, especially in the moment when the new suit, the new imperishable vehicle, comes into existence? Well, that is the Endurer. We repeat the words of the Gnostic Gospel, claimed to have been found only recently, where Jesus says to James, "Do not allow yourself to be distracted from the kingdom of God, and belong to those who agree to such a joyful self-renunciation." Until now, we have looked at the matter only from the angle of the new soul as an individual. But you will see how extremely important it is that the reborn ones do not forcibly leave their old suits, for they can still be of splendid use in the service of mankind in the dialectical world night. Clothed in the old suits, the residents of the night can see them, contact them. That is why the inhabitant of two worlds will continue to work with the apparatus of the old soul for as long as possible in the service of the great, holy work. Even if he strongly desires, as Paul expresses it, to enter the celestial place of abode and to remain continually in the new life.